But more importantly is the one in the middle, which is the vital capacity, the vital soul, which includes vitality, feeling, emotions, impulses, desires. If you say there are three souls, it means that the intellectual soul does not have any interest in the impulses or does not experience in any way the impulses and desires, emotions, instincts of existence. That comes from another soul. The intellectual soul is totally...
And in his philosophical work, Mekor Chayim and Perikei, he also discusses this shita. It's interesting, today the Sefer Mekor Chayim is almost absolutely unknown. But in the past, in the medieval times, it enjoyed it was extremely popular, it enjoyed great popularity. This is the shita of the Evin Ezra and the Pshleim Ibn Gabir. Kum Tzegen the Rambam. And in the beginning of the Shmoyna Prakim of the Rambam, Shmoyna Prakim includes 8 chapters which the Rambam wrote as an introduction to Pirkei Avos. Immediately in the beginning of chapter 1 of Shmoyna Prakim says the Rambam, Da, Shenefesh ha'adam achas, v'yeshla pa'ulois rabois chalukais. V'yechashiv ba'avur zeh, she'yeshla adam nefashis rabois. You should know, says the Rambam, that the nefesh of man is one. There are no three souls, there is one soul which consists of many functions. And as a result of the various functions of the soul, some people consider these functions to actually be independent souls, and some people think that a person has many souls. And he enumerates the three souls, the tivis, the chiyunis, and the nafshis, as he puts it, which are the three above mentioned categories, the natural soul, the vital soul, and the nafshis, the soul dimension of the consciousness, which correspond to the vegetative, which is the natural soul, the animal, which is the vital soul, the corporal energy that sustains the body, which a vegetation doesn't have a soul in that sense. And finally, the rational soul, which he calls the nafshis. So the Rambam tells us there's really one soul which has three koiches, three faculties. It consists of three primary functions. The koich hatzemeich, the vegetative power, the koich hamisava, the power of lust, of impulses, and the koich hasichli, the cognitive intellectual power. By the way, you should not think that this is just an argument concerning semantics. One soul, three souls, what's the difference? What's the difference? Rather, this is a very important dispute which is dealing not just with words and phraseology, but with there's a philosophical difference in content between them. If we say that these three faculties, the koyach hatzemeach, the koyach hamisava, and the koyach hasichli, are three souls, essentially what we are to conclude is that you're dealing with three distinct worlds that are separated one from the other with an absolute gap and schism. Therefore, the assertion of one of the souls by necessity must come at the expense of the abnegation and nullification of the other souls. Only by subduing the other two souls can the third soul function and be asserted in a healthy and productive manner. Because since these are three distinct souls, they're distinct worlds, each soul has its own identity, totally not interested and with no relationship to any other of the souls. So the assertion, for example, of the rational soul could only come at the expense of subduing the animal and the vegetative soul, or primarily the animal soul. The Rambam, however, the great believer in the unity of the human reality, the great believer in absolute, the great propagator and proponent who demanded and desired the absolute balance and harmony in a person's life, the Rambam says that we're dealing with one soul. That very soul, which is the Nefesh HaMaskelis, is the rational intellectual soul, that soul is also the animal and the vegetative soul. And therefore, ultimately, according to the Rambam, through proper training, toil and work, a life which is an expression of the rational soul ultimately must not negate and eliminate and eradicate the other dimensions of life. And this, of course, has many implications in life and in the philosophy of the human existence from the perspective of the Evin Ezra, Shlomo Ibn Gabir, and the Rambam, but that's beyond the parameters of our present class. Derech Agav, parenthetically. Among the medieval Jewish philosophers is also another Shita. And according to that Shita, the division of the soul into three dimensions is done in another way. This is the Shita of Reb Saadia Gaon. Reb Saadia Gaon of the 10th century, in his philosophical work, one of the first works on Jewish philosophy called Emunais Vedeis. In Emunais Vedeis, Maimer Vav Peter Gimel, Rasag Reb Saadia Gaon says that the Nefesh has three parts to it. Seichel, Kas, and Taiva. Intellect, anger, and desire, which according to him are general parts that include the entire spectrum of the human experience, as he discusses there at length. And Reb Saadia Gaon emphasizes that there were many who erred and considered this to be three souls because they could not conceive of the fact that one soul should have such various dispositions. But the truth is, he says, you're dealing with one soul which has three faculties, three kaiches. The Ramban, Reb Moshe ben Nachman, as well as Rabbeinu Bechaye, in their commentary on Chumash on this pasuk, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim, they bring this argument in the name of Chachmei HaMechker, in the name of the philosophers. They discuss this in great length, and they bring proofs to both sides, to both shittas, both to the shita that there are three souls and to the shita that there's one soul. It's a little bit mashma from them. It seems somewhat, although not obvious, although it's, you cannot say this obviously, that they gravitate towards the shita of the Rambam that there is one soul. In their commentary on this pasuk in Chumash, they write that apparently this pasuk in Bereishis, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam Ofer min Ha'adam Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim Vayiyadam LeNafesh Chaya, demonstrates and can be brought as a proof to the Shita of the Rambam that the soul is one, because then, according to this opinion, we understand very well the Pasuk. In the beginning of the Pasuk, he is addressing the body of the human being, which Hashem formed from dust. Afterwards, Hashem blew into the body a neshama. This neshama is the unique soul that is exclusively the lot of the human race, the nefesh ha-sichlis. As Ramban explains earlier, I mentioned this last week, that the neficha, which comes from the very soul of the blower, indicates the highest level in human souls, which is the nefesh ha-sichlis. And this nefesh includes various parts. And then the pasuk concludes, Vayihi ha-adam le-nefesh chaya, as a result of the Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim, the human being became a living creature, because by the person, the nefesh ha-maskelis, and the nefesh ha-bahamis, and the nefesh ha-tzemachas are all one. Hence, only after Hashem blowing into his nostrils the nefesh ha-sichlis, did man become alive even physically. In other words, even his physical life came as a result of the nefesh ha-sichlis, because his nefesh ha-bahamis and nefesh ha-tzeimachis, which give him corporal existence, are all part and parcel of the nefesh ha-sichlis. But according to the Shita, that there are three souls, so a human being became a nefesh chai even without a nefesh ha-maskelis. Even by possessing the first two souls, the nefesh ha-tzemachas and the nefesh ha-bahamis, he became alive just like an animal is alive. And these nefashas are totally not mentioned in this pasuk. And it seems, upon reflection, it seems that the problem the Ramban and the Bechaya are raising is a double problem. A, first of all, why doesn't the pasuk mention these two souls? The pasuk totally ignores the two primal souls giving us life and sustenance. And secondly, most importantly, how can you say that after Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim Vayihi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, even before Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim, he was a Nefesh Chaya? Because the Nefesh HaMaskelis is an independent, distinct soul, independent from the other two souls. So man became a living creature even prior and before having the unique intellectual, rational soul which distinguishes him from all other animals existing on the face of the earth. So the Ramban explains in his commentary on Torah that according to this Shita, we could say that the term Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam Ofer min Ha'adama, also refers to a soul. Literally, we say Vayitzer means he formed man dust from the earth. It's referring to the body. The Rambam says it's possible, the Ramban says that according to this Shita, it's possible to interpret Vayitzer as referring to the Tzura, to the nafshi is the ketsura, to the spiritual form, not the physical form, the spiritual, psychological an internal form and identity which Hashem imbued in the body that came from dust. Vayitzir Hashem Elokim es Adam Afer min Ha'adama. In the Afer min Ha'adama, He imbued man with a tzura, with a nefesh. And this is referring to the first two souls, to the first two spiritual energies, the Tzemachas and the Bahamas. And then the Pasuk adds, Vayipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim, which is referring to the third soul, the Nefesh HaSichlis. And then the Pasuk concludes that as a result of all these three souls together, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh Chayim, man became a living creature, after not only the Nefesh HaSichlis, after referring to also the Nefesh HaTzimachas and Bahamas, after all this, he became a living creature consisting of all of the qualities that characterize the human race. Those qualities it shares with the vegetative, with the botanic kingdom and the animal kingdom, as well as the qualities that are unique to the human race, to the human beings in this world. In the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe on Tanya, on the second chapter of Tanya, these writings were printed in a sefer of the Tzemach Tzedek called Kitzurim V'Ha'aris L'Tanya. He discusses this argument which was quoted in Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he points out that this nefesh, this soul which according to the Rambam is one soul, and according to the Rav Nezer and Rav Shlomi Ibn Gabirul are three souls, this is the nefesh HaBahamas which the Alter Rebbe is discussing in Tanya. The animal, the primal animal, biological creature, which the Alter Rebbe discusses in the Tanya. The Nefesh HaLikis, however, which is discussed in Tanya, and which the source for this Nefesh is in which literature? It's not in the literature of Jewish philosophy, but in the literature of Kabbalah, specifically in the writings of Reb Chaim Vital, the great student and exponent and transcriber of Lurianic Kabbalah, of the Kabbalah of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria the Arizal. Specifically in the Sfarim Shari, Gdusha and Eitz Chaim, this is totally another type of soul with other dimensions. As Alter Rebbe mentioned in Shpeir Galef, Acha Inyan, that every Jew has stay in the fortress, and he quotes the Rachav, Reb Chaim Vital, Kamei Shekotzim Rachav Zal, B'Shar HaGdusha, Beitz Chaim, Shar Nun Perik Beis. As I mentioned, when we learned it, Shar HaGdusha is a sefer from the Rachav, and in Shar Aleph he discusses these two nefortress, as well as in Eitz Chaim. What is the explanation in this? What is the difference between these two nefashas? So as explained in various Hasidic discourses, the explanation is as follows. Even the nefesh ha-sichlis, which the Rambam discusses, the Eben Ezra, the Shlomi Ibn Gabirul, the Psadigon discuss, is not synonymous as the nefesh ha-likis. Because ultimately we're dealing with the human intellect. We're dealing with seichel enushi, with human rationale, with the human cognitive faculties. And the human intellect is defined by the fact that it is a product of creation. It's something that Hashem created. It's a product of Bria, and it's never to be confused with Bode, with the Creator. It's a product of creation, and in creation itself, it's something in which the divine energy is concealed. So first and foremost, Hashem created it. It's not part of His identity, so to speak, of His essence. It's something which comes from His dibur, from His external energy, and He, so to speak, created something else. And in that itself, what type of creation it is? Is it? It's a creation where you do not immediately sense the presence of the divine source, of the divine energy, embedded in the creation of the intellect. Seichel, intellect, is ultimately characterized by the I. It has a self-contained, autonomous identity, independent from the all-pervading, all-embracing reality of Hashem. True, this is not a subjective, egotistical, biased I. Seichel's self-contained identity and ego is an I which allows the human being to reach and discern truth, but it's not the ultimate reality. Since it is cognitive, since it is discriminative, Since real seichel is objective, it seeks the truth, so one can use it as an instrument to reach the truth. And here begins the primary quality and superiority of the human being versus the animal, as discussed at length in Jewish philosophy, that it is only the human being which has the ability to search and to find the truth which transcends his immediate needs, versus an animal which is defined by its instincts and its gratifications and its needs to preserve itself. But nevertheless, it's still not emes. Seichel is still part and parcel of the human experience. True, it's the objective part of the human experience. It's the developed and sophisticated dimension of the human experience, but it's part of the human condition. The nefesh ha'lekis, the divine soul, in stark contrast to that, is the divine experience in man. It's not part of the human condition, it's part of the divine condition embedded in the human, in the Jewish structure, so to speak. The nefesh ha'lekis is the first glimmer of consciousness that transcends the eye. It's the first glimmer of consciousness which allows the human being to experience the divine reality. It gives man the ability to go beyond himself, to transcend himself, to identify with something that is beyond his own self-contained reality. It is here and only here in the nefesh ha'lekis of the human being where a new dimension is introduced into his life. Transcendence. The nefesh ha'lekis is a divine reality. It's part of the projection of the godly dimension. It doesn't begin with creation, it begins with the Creator, as discussed in last week's class as well. So seichel, the human intellect, can grasp concepts connected with godliness, but it's only the nefesh ha'lekis which allows the human being to experience godliness. True, as the Alter Rebbe will discuss later in chapter 9, what is the primary abode for the nefesh ha'lekis? The mind. The mayach is the primary home where the nefesh ha'lekis dwells, but it's nevertheless not identical with human mind. Through the mind, as we will discuss there at length, a person can tune into his divine soul. Because since the mind is objective, in its true sense, a mind is objective, it's not subjective, it can lead the person towards his divine soul. The nefesh has the rationale in the human being, his intellectual mind, can show him where the door is. But to pass through the door, you must have the nefesh ha'lekis. Till the door, the seichel can lead you. To go into it, there is only the nefesh ha'lekis. The experience of the divine comes through the nefesh ha'lekis. But since the seichel is the instrument through which one can make contact with the divine identity in him, therefore they are very close. And they're so close to the extent that sometimes, and we are not to get confused with this, but sometimes the nefesh ha'lekis is defined as the nefesh ha'sichlis, as the rational soul. In Tanya Peri Gimel, in the third chapter, next chapter, the Alter Rebbe calls the nefesh ha'lekis once, he terms it nefesh ha'maskelos, the rational soul, because there's a very intense, powerful connection between them, because it's the seichel that allows the nefesh ha'lekis to be revealed. And that's why the nefesh ha'lekis dwells in the mind. The Maharal, for example, talks about the nefesh ha'sichlis as the deepest soul in the human being. He talks about it as the divine element in man, as the element of tzura, which is beyond chaymer, and so forth. But nevertheless, upon deeper scrutiny, it's not identical. And in the final analysis of things, in the final analysis, from the real perspective, which Chassidus discusses at length, the seichel is ultimately closer, the nefesh ha'sichlis, the rational dimension, is ultimately, in the ultimate analysis, it's closer to the nefesh ha'tzeimachas, to the vegetative soul, to the bahamas, to the animal soul, closer than to the nefesh ha'lekis. Because between the rational soul and the vegetative soul, there is ultimately a relative difference. There is a finite gap between them. A very powerful gap. You can't compare the energy of the mind to the energy in a flower. But ultimately it's a finite gap. It's a gap existing within the realm of creation. These are gaps that are limited because they are both defined by creation, and creation inherently is limited. A mind is limited and a flower is limited. Yes, their parameters are drastically different, but it's all in the realm of limitation. On the other hand, the difference between the rational soul and the divine soul is infinite. The schism between them is an absolute one, it's an unequivocal one, because it's the gap between creator and creation. The gap between creator and creation is an infinite, absolute one. Therefore, Tzemach Tzedek points out that when we speak in general terms, the three nefashis, which Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabirol discusses, or the one soul that the Rambam discusses, are ultimately the nefesh ha-bahamis of the Tanya. When we speak generally, the nefesh ha-sichlis is part of the nefesh ha-bahamis reality. They are considered to be one soul, as the Rambam says. Da ki nefesh adam achasi. Not because the seichel is subjective, not because seichel is inferior because it's worthless, by no means, but because ultimately seichel is defined by identity, by human identity. It's part of the human condition. Seichel does not sense and experience the truth that einoid milvadei, there is him and there's none else beside him. Through seichel we might understand that einoid milvadei, but it's not experienced in Seichel. Seichel is a self-contained reality, and therefore it's from the realm of Klipa in the Tanya terminology. It comes from the shell realities that conceal and obscure the truth of divinity. So when the Mishnah comes along in Pirkei Avos and tells us in Perek Gimel Mishnah Yedalet, Chaviv Adam Shenivre B'Tzelem, Shenemar Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Es Adam, the human being is cherished because he was created in the image of Hashem. Chavivin Yisrael shenikru banim lomakim shenemar banim atam Hashem lekeichem. The Jewish people are beloved, they're cherished because they're defined as the children of Hashem, as the pasuk says, "You're children of Hashem." We're dealing with these two elements, as the Mefarshim explain. Chaviv Adam shenivre b'tzelem is dealing with the seichel, with the unique intellectual quality that was given to the human being. This is what characterizes and distinguishes the human race from all other living creatures, and this is what makes every human being, Jew and non-Jew alike, someone who is divra b'tzelem alakim, someone who was created in the image of Hashem. He has the ability to soar beyond his immediate needs and to discern truth in life. This is the power of seichel that every human being possesses. Then the Mishnah continues. This is the unique dimension which the divine soul introduces into the life of the Jew. The divine soul which makes us children. As the Alter Rebbe says here, the unique relationship that a child has to its father, that is the relationship that the divine soul has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. Now, generally speaking, in the Rishonim, among the medieval Jewish philosophers, explicit and lucid, elaborate mention of the Nefesh HaLekis is not made. They were usually discussing other levels of the human consciousness. Primarily, they were discussing the vegetative consciousness, the animal consciousness, and most importantly, the cognitive intellectual consciousness. They did indicate the factor of the Nefesh HaLekis, the factor of Neshama. They do make mention of it sometimes in a very obscure and hidden manner. The Rambam, for example, in his Hilchos Geirush, in the conclusion of chapter 2, does discuss an inherent consciousness existing in the Jew, which as a result of that he has a desire to do mitzvahs. We will discuss this Rambam later in chapter 4, where the Alter Rebbe discusses the relationship between the divine soul and Torah and mitzvahs. And there are other sources, other references, but nevertheless, it's extremely obscure, it's extremely hidden, it's extremely seldom. The main emphasis is on the Nefesh HaSichlis. In the Svarim that are connected to Kabbalah, to Pnimiyus HaTorah, in all its manifestations, and this includes even the Ramban, for example. The Ramban was a major Mekubal, and in his Svarim and in his Pirush of Torah, he already has included ideas of Kabbalah. In Svarim that are connected with Kabbalah, Pnimiyus HaTorah, they began delving into this issue of the divine element in man in a much more revealed and elaborate manner. And because there are different parts of the Torah, as mentioned in class number 5, there are different dimensions of the Torah which address various levels of the human phenomenon, of the human existence. Its different levels discuss different issues and emphasize different issues. In Kabbalah, the issue of transcendence, of total spiritual transcendence in the human dimension, was introduced in a very powerful way, and specifically and especially in Chassidus. In Hasidism, this concept of the Nefesh HaLekis reached its ultimate crystallization, especially in the writings of the Alter Rebbe, beginning with his foundational magnum opus, the Tanya. So what do we have from this? What we have from this is as follows, in summation. According to the opinion in Jewish philosophy that there are three souls, ultimately in the final analysis of things, we're dealing with four souls in the Jew. The Nefesh HaLekis, the Nefesh HaSichlis, the Nefesh HaBahamis, and the Nefesh HaTzemachis. According to the Shita that the three souls are one, we ultimately have two souls in the Jew's consciousness, the Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaBahamis, and that is the method that Alter Rebbe employed and articulated in the Tanya, that every Jew has shtei nefashos. On one hand stands the Nefesh HaBahamis, which includes all the three souls of the Rambam, and on the other side stands the Nefesh HaLakis. And this explains also a very important general and fundamental question that many of you presented after the last few classes. And that is, who decides between these two souls? We talk about, as we did in the last few weeks when we started learning the Tanya, the two souls in the Jew. The biological creature and the transcendental creature. The selfish soul and the selfless soul. The animal soul and the divine soul, and so forth. And the perpetual struggle and conflict that exists in our life as a result of the identity, of the identities, of the aspirations, of the instincts, of the philosophies, of the perspective of these two souls. Who decides? I have a Nefesh HaLakis, I have a Nefesh HaBahamis. You have a Nefesh HaLakis, you have a Nefesh HaBahamis. Your Nefesh HaLakis wants you to behave at this moment in a certain way. Your Nefesh HaBahamis wants you to behave in another way. Who decides? So the Alter Rebbe, later in chapter 12, apparently attributes this power to the mind, to the mayach. The mind, Alter Rebbe tells us, ultimately has the potential to be objective and to listen to the opinions and to the voices of both souls and to make a decision. And it's this decision that finds expression in man's behavioral life, which means a person has an animal soul. He has an egotistical soul. He has his own personal, egotistical identity, biological identity, animal identity. This is an identity which includes instincts, it includes feelings, it includes passions, it even includes the intellect. The Nefesh HaBahamis has a full array of 10 faculties, just as the Nefesh HaLakis has, as he will discuss in chapters 3 and chapter 6. The Nefesh HaLakis, its identity is not defined by the ego, its identity is defined by truth. It seeks God, it seeks truth, it seeks spirituality, it seeks emes, and it has its set of attributes, of personality faculties. It has its emotions, its instincts, its passions, and its mind. True, we will see in the animal soul, her primary personality features are her emotions. In the divine soul, her primary personality features are her intellectual qualities. But that's a separate issue. The mind of the human being, beyond these two souls, beyond the Nefesh HaLakis with its set of personality features, beyond the Nefesh HaBahamis, besides the Nefesh HaBahamis with its set of personality features, your seichel. And the seichel, the mind, has the ability and is the one who decides which soul should fill the human identity. Should the Nefesh HaBahamis pervade my identity? Should it pervade my body, the limbs of my body? Should it pervade my structure, my cognitive structure, my emotional structure? Shall it pervade my behavioral life? Or it should be the Nefesh HaLakis? And Alter Rebbe will explain that a person always has the potential to access his mind and to utilize it. The seichel ultimately remains free. It remains a liberated reality that can listen to both souls and has the power to make an objective decision. Besides, in certain cases, in chapter 17, the Alter Rebbe discusses certain tragic cases where the human being's mind becomes so fried, unfortunately, as a result of uninhibited self-indulgence, as we know very often from our daily experiences and observations, where the human being's mind becomes so fried that it doesn't have the ability to make objective decisions anymore. But those are unique cases. Generally speaking, the mind remains objective. The Hashem, Alter Rebbe says, imbued in the human being the power that as a result of his faculty of his mind, he will always be able to reach truth. In other words, his mind and his brain give him the ability always to judge, to discriminate, to analyze, to define, to question, and to try to discern what is the truth. He can listen to the perspective of the animal soul, listen to the perspective of the divine soul, and decide. And therefore, the person should never say, I don't have a mind, my mind is enslaved, my mind is nullified, is abnegated. No. The Nefesh HaSichlis remains in its purity, and it never becomes corrupted. And she is the one who has to decide between these two souls. And in Chassidus, sometimes we call this mind power, we term it as an independent soul. Chassidus sometimes talks about the Nefesh HaLekis, the Nefesh HaBahamis, and the Nefesh HaSichlis. The Alter Rebbe himself, on the Kutat Torah, Parshas B'chukosai. The Alter Rebbe has a Sefer Lekutat Torah on Chumash, and in the discourses on Parshas B'chukosai, he mentions these three souls, Nefesh HaLekis, Nefesh HaBahamis, and Nefesh HaSichlis. Which means, in other words, they take the one soul from the Rambam, and they divide it into two souls rather than into three. Instead of dividing it into three, Nefesh HaSichlis, Bahamas, and Semachas, they take the one soul of the Rambam and they divide it into two, a Nefesh HaBahamas and a Nefesh HaSichlis. But in Tanya, he only talks about two souls. In Tanya, he does not attribute to the Seichel dynamic in man the quality of an independent soul. He talks about Seichel in generally. He talks about the mind being a crucial, integral weapon through which the human being always has the ability to assert his Nefesh HaLekis and not to fall prey to his Nefesh HaBahamas. But as a soul identity, that in Tanya he attributes to two distinct identities, the godly identity and the Bahamistic identity defined as the Nefesh HaLekis and the Nefesh HaBahamas. Now, as a result, after all of this, perhaps we can say, I'm not sure about this, I'm just suggesting it, concerning the question about the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. Just as the Ramban explains that pasuk, according to the opinion of the Jewish philosophers that there are three souls, we can explain the pasuk similarly according to the Alter Rebbe's Shita in Tanya. In other words, we can say that the Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Asadam Avram Min Adama refers to the first soul, to the Tzura, to the first soul in Tanya, the Nefesh HaBahamas, which as the Tzemach Tzedek mentions, that Nefesh HaBahamas is the one soul in the Rambam Shita that encompasses all three souls, Nefesh HaSichlis, Nefesh HaBahamas, Nefesh HaTzemachas. And then the pasuk continues, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim, Man Nafach Mitaychi Nafach Mitaychi Yusim Apnimi Yusai, Hashem blowing, which now is now referring to the second unique extraterrestrial soul, beyond the human condition, beyond the human experience of divine consciousness in the Jew. Yeah. Why can't we say that the Nefesh HaLekis and the Nefesh HaBahamas are also one soul? Just as the Rambam says that the three souls of the Eben Ezra are one soul, ultimately they just have various functions, so why can't we go a step further and say that the Nefesh HaLekis is also part of that one soul? The answer is a very good question. Excellent question. The answer is as follows. As Chassidus explains, ultimately the three souls the Rambam is addressing, in their quintessential reality, they're identical. They're all a product of creation. They're all, as I said before, they ultimately all come from Hashem's dibur, from Hashem's external energy versus Hashem's pnimiyus, Hashem's machshava. And as in that itself, it's Hashem's dibur creating something, a substance, so to speak. It's not the divine reality, it's not God. It's Hashem creating a world. In that world are various parameters, there are various dimensions. There is the intellectual dimension, there is the vegetative dimension, there is the instinct and so on, and there's lusts, cravings, and impulses. But ultimately, this is a created universe, and in that itself, all of them have the common denominator that Hashem is concealed within them. But they're all a product of creation, so therefore the difference between them is a limited one. In those differences itself, one is superior to the other one. So the Rambam believes that ultimately, we can all put them into one soul, place them into one soul. But the schism that divides the Nefesh HaLekis from the Nefesh HaBahamas, the natural schism prior to man's work and development, because as a result of man's work and development, we will come to see the Nefesh HaBahamas can become a partner to the divine soul, as we will discuss later in Tanya. But the schism that separates essentially the Nefesh HaLekis from the Nefesh HaBahamas is an absolute one. This is godliness and this is worldliness. This is heaven and this is earth. This is infinity and this is finite. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Chazal tell us, you're asking that Chazal tell us that the Yetzer Hara enters into the human being at the age of 13. Do you want to know if the Nefesh HaLekis also enters into our bodies at the age of 13? Very good. Let me explain your question for a moment. You say no, huh? Okay, one moment. In Kehelas in Perek Dalit, the Chacham Mikol Adam Shleima HaMelech says, Toiv Yeled Miskein V'Chacham HaMelech Zakein Uksil. It's better to have a, what's a Miskein? What's a Miskein? Huh? Not Ksil, Miskein. I think Miskein is a weak. It's better to have a weak child who is wise than a Melech Zakin Uksil, than an old king who is a fool. So, our Chazal interpret this pasuk as referring to the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Tov is referring to a child who is weak, but who is wise, and the Yetzer Hara might be a king, and it's old, but it's foolish. And Rashi explains in the name of the Medrash during Kehelas, why is the Yetzer Tov called a child, why is the Yetzer Hara called a senior citizen? Because the Yetzer Tov comes into the human being at the age of Bar Mitzvah, at the age of 13. The Yetzer Hara, by that time, is already an old man. The Yetzer Hara comes into the human being the moment he's born. L'Pesach Chatas Reivitz. So therefore, by the time the Yetzer Tov is just beginning to grow up, the Yetzer Hara has already a lot of experience with life. So you're asking if the Nefesh HaLikis also comes in at the age of 13. The Tzemach Tzedek, again, in his writings on Tanya, the Tzemach Tzedek, by the way, was the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, as I mentioned. He was the third Rebbe of Chabad. After the passing of the Alter Rebbe's son, Reb Dov Ber, the Mittler Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, Reb Menachem Mendel Schneerson, succeeded him in the leadership of the Chabad movement. He's the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. He indeed grew up in the home of his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, because his mother, Rebbetzin Dvreira Leah, the daughter of the Alter Rebbe, passed away at a very young age when he was still a young child. He was 2 years old, and the Alter Rebbe took him into his home, and he was educated at the feet of the Alter Rebbe. So there was a very powerful connection between the two, between the Alter Rebbe and Tzemach Tzedek. In his writings on the Tanya, again in Kitzurim Varus L'Tanya, he raises this issue, he raises this question. So in the beginning, he suggests that perhaps the Yetzer Tov is not identical with the Nefesh HaLikis. Perhaps the Nefesh HaLikis comes in immediately, and the Yetzer Hara only at the age of 13. But then he explains that it's not necessarily so. Because what Chazal are talking about, perhaps, is about the revelation of the Nefesh HaLikis and the human identity. That begins at the age of 13. But not concerning the essential existence of the Nefesh HaLikis and the Yetzer Tov in the human being. There is, after everything said and done, there is still a difference between the Yetzer Tov and the Nefesh HaLikis, as I mentioned in earlier classes, and we will still discuss this. But generally speaking, they are very much connected with each other, and the Tzemach Tzedek says that it's possible they both come in immediately. The Jew is born with a Yetzer Tov, the Jew is born with a Nefesh HaLikis. What we mean when we talk about the age of 13 is only about the Hizgalus, the revelation of it, which means as follows. The natural identity of the human being, without any work, without any toil, is the identity of the Nefesh HaBahamas. Why? What does a person feel? What does a child feel instinctively? Does he feel himself? Immediately. A child immediately feels himself, he feels his needs, he feels a quest for preservation, for gratification, for endurance, and so forth, and he gravitates towards these needs. So when the person grows up, what is the consciousness that pervades his identity? Without any work and toil, it's the consciousness of the Nefesh HaBahamas. Does the human being immediately senses in his identity the quest to the sublime, to the celestial, to the divine reality, to transcendence? No. So the human being has a Nefesh HaLikis, but that can become his identity only through toil, only through contemplation, only through the cognitive process, and that begins primarily at the age of 13. So this means that a person has the Jew has the Nefesh HaLikis immediately when he's born. A Jew has a divine soul in him. And furthermore, the divine soul can impact his life. A lot of the behavioral patterns of a child, according to Chassidus, are a reflection of his divine soul. I once heard from the Rebbe a fascinating idea. He says, you know, when you give a child a piece of food, what does he do with it? Give him a piece of bread. What does he do? He immediately destroys it. Immediately, from one piece of bread, it's converted into myriads and myriads of crumbs that find themselves in a few moments in every single corner of the home. So naturally, we say, listen, an adult is a mature, sophisticated, developed person, so he's normal, he doesn't do such a thing. A child, immature, irresponsible. The Rebbe said that the real reason, the real subconscious reason for a child behaving that way is because here we have an expression of the divine soul. The divine soul, what's the difference between the animal soul and the divine soul? The animal soul is egotistical. When you give me a piece of bread, for who is it? It's for me. The animal soul instinctively knows that not everything is for me. What I receive, I also must transmit and give to another human being. I cannot put it all into myself. It must be dispersed for the rest of the world. The child has a very powerful connection with the Nefesh HaLakis because his Nefesh HaBahamas was not developed so intensely and it didn't pervade his entire consciousness. So he's not conscious of this. Then the divine soul doesn't experience itself with, he doesn't experience it in a systemized manner and fashion. But it's there and it releases its powers and it impacts the child's behavior. But in a revealed way, to build a personality based on the divine soul, this begins only when the human being is 13 years old. I'll conclude with a beautiful klayakar. The klayakar on this pasuk, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim v'yi adam l'nefesh chaya, basically articulates this idea in different terms. You see, the mefarshim on this pasuk have a major problem with it. What does v'yi adam l'nefesh chaya mean? Man became a living creature. All animals are living creatures. This is not something about man. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim is trying to denote the unique aspect of man, but nefesh chaya is a term used earlier about all the animals, about all the mammals, about fowl, about bird, about everything. Domesticated animals, undomesticated animals, they're all part of living, they're all living creatures. So earlier we mentioned the Ramban's interpretation. Rashi also asks the question. Rashi says that nefesh chaya, v'yi adam l'nefesh chaya, although all animals are a nefesh chaya, but the nefesh chaya of a person is more than all other nefesh chayas, because a human being has intellect and he has the power of speech. Day of a dibur. The Klayakar explains it as follows. He says that there is a major powerful difference between the human race and the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom, the day an animal is born, it reaches its perfection. It reaches its peak. Not necessarily all of its strength, all of its biological peak, but as far as a personality is concerned, it has everything. It cannot grow in the psychological process. In the human being, it's totally different. Although we are born and we are created, as he puts it, with a nefesh hamaskelas hanitzchi, an eternal intellectual soul, which is a chelek alikami mal, although it's vayipach ba'apav, which neficha shows the great quality of this soul, nevertheless, the pasuk continues, vayihi adam lenefesh chaya, a person remains like an animal because the power of his soul, of the human soul, remains concealed. It remains in potentiality. It's not actualized. And if the human being doesn't go and muster, that's what he says, if he doesn't muster his strength, if he doesn't assemble all his power and go fight the battle of God, he will remain as an animal. He will remain in the form and in the character of a behemoth. The Klayakar says, the Pasuk is trying to tell us, Taka vayipach ba'af of nishmas chayim, but vayi adam lenefesh chaya. The human being shouldn't think that without work, without toil, he will reach his moral, spiritual, and psychological perfection. It all depends on his toil, on his work. He always has the ability, as the Klayakar puts it so eloquently, to exchange teva with seichel, and seichel with teva. He can always exchange the natural impulsive instincts with a deeper dimension of life, with a seichel dikka dimension, and conversely, unfortunately, he can also take the seichel dikka dimension and exchange it and allow only the teva to subdue him and to conquer his life. So this is similar to the idea we mentioned earlier, that the Jew has a nefesh alikis essentially. He's born with a nefesh alikis. We talk about the Yetzer Tov coming at the age of 13 in the sense that only at the age of 13 can he begin tapping into it and allowing it to pervade his consciousness in a very conscious fashion and manner. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1111. 1076.